Welcome to the Catholic Bible Pod with Mon. I'm Monica, your host, and I am so excited you're joining me. Each week here on the pod, we open the Bible, we talk about prayer, we explore what the Catholic Church teaches. For me, getting familiar with God's Word transformed my relationship with Him, and I want that for you too. I want you to be comfortable in the Word. I want you to be familiar with it, confident, Bible literate. I am here to help you one week at a time. Let's dive in. Hi, welcome back to episode 4. I am so excited and delighted to have you back and to have you back with a guest this week. This guest is one of the first people I thought of when I was thinking about doing this mini-series. I was at a women's group and I heard her speak and just talk, just sharing casually. You know, she wasn't presenting and I was like, I need to pick this girl's brain. She just is so confident, so vibrant, and she's a couple kids ahead of me too. So she is still a young mom figuring it out, but she's also kind of gotten a couple things maybe in order, maybe settled, maybe figured out. And so I just can't wait for her to share her wisdom and her enthusiasm and also her education about this topic today. So can we welcome Maggie Maurer to the show? Hi, Maggie.
Oh, Monica. Thanks so much. Really happy to be here.
Maggie and I met at Damascus like years ago, but then we haven't been in the same circuit for a while until recently. So we're just glad. I'm glad to be back. And Maggie's got some beautiful boys and I have a daughter, she's got sons, so it's kind of fun to see probably the difference of our lives. But today we're talking about, obviously, the Acts of the Apostles and motherhood. We're continuing our series, but we're talking about evangelization and catechesis specifically. The Acts of the Apostles is all about the mission of the church, right? The Great Commission is the beginning, and it's all about what the apostles are doing to spread the church, to grow the church. And two key words in that is the mission of the church is evangelization, and then the catechesis. Maggie studied evangelization and catechesis, so I'm like, girl, teach us. And we also want to talk about the domestic church, our home as a domestic church. So that's kind of what we're going for here today, lots of ideas. But before we really dive into Acts, Maggie, I know that you have worked in schools and in parishes. You were a missionary before having kids. Can you tell us a little bit about, like, pre-mom Maggie and how you were like participating in the mission of the church back then and what you were like as opposed to like mom Maggie and how you are now?
Yeah, totally. So nearing the end of college, I was started serving as a missionary at CYSC each summer for about 3 summers. And so I knew that I wanted a life in mission. I wanted a life in ministry. So after graduating from Ohio State, I took a job as a middle school youth minister. And that was a good job. Got my toes in the water in ministry. But my dream job was teaching high school theology. I just didn't have the degree for it. I graduated with a degree in athletic training. So immediately after graduating with my bachelor's, I started my master's at Franciscan, like you said, in catechetics and evangelization. So I was working at a Catholic grade school as a youth minister, but also getting my master's degree with the goal as being a high school theology teacher. You know, fell in love, got married, and it was always our intention that I would be a stay-at-home mom. That was what I wanted to do. If you were to ask me in high school, I'd say, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. Well, then, lo and behold.
You knew that early.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was mostly like, I didn't know what else I was called to, but I knew, like, sure. I wanted to be married and have kids. So, what else?
Yes, yes.
And so, I became a wife. And we didn't have kids right away just because the Lord had other plans for us, apparently. And so finally, I had enough credits with my master's degree to get a job at my alma mater, which is where I wanted to teach, teaching freshmen and sophomores. My favorite. Love the freshmen because they still have a glimpse of like purity and innocence.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And I love the sophomores. Yes. Yes, and I love the sophomores because they're so confident that they're not freshmen, but they're also so goofy. And I just, it's a deadly combination that I just have a high affinity towards. So I had my dream job, and then the Lord blessed us with our first baby boy. And so all of a sudden, this easy decision that my husband and I made, you know, before we even got married, that I was going to be a stay-at-home mom, all of a sudden that easy decision was not so easy. So yes. It was time for contract renewal. I had to make a decision. Am I coming back next year? But now I have a baby and I didn't know what to do. So I would go to prayer and just be like, God, what do you want to do just tell me, like, tell me and I will do it. And it was just like crickets, nothing. And like day after day, week after week. And I'm like, God, the time for my meeting to renew my contract is soon. So please let me know. Soon, please.
Like, and it TikTok was still, God.
Yeah, it was still just crickets. And I just really wrestled in prayer because I was like, God, I'm literally laboring in your vineyard every day. Like, I'm evangelizing every day to these students. Like, my job is to catechize. Like, I'm doing a good and holy thing. But I don't know what to do because I'm a mom. And that's, like, my primary vocation. Like, I'm a wife and mother. And so finally, there wasn't, like, this big thing in prayer. But it was just, like, a click in my head of just, like, right now, I am someone to 150 of my students. I'm someone. But I think I'd rather be everything to one baby. And in my head, it was like, okay, that's a click in my head. That's the right thing to do. So went to my principal, said I wasn't going to return next year. That's great. Ironically, the week after I told my principal, I was able to go to my commencement ceremony for getting my master's degree at Franciscan. And it was ironic.
The timing lines
yes,
up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ironic because the degree that I got, I was no longer going to be using for the foreseeable future. But I went anyways. And our commencement speaker was the legendary Dr. Peter Kraft. Are you familiar?
Come on.
I know.
What? He was there?
Yes. Just.
Let's go.
What a guy. So in his commencement address, he reminded us of the Mother Teresa quote of, God doesn't call you to be successful. He calls you to be faithful. And right when he said that, like, the peace of Christ just washed over me and it clicked in my heart. And so I had that, like, peace in my mind and my heart that, like, I'm doing the right thing for the right purpose, for the right person. Because my son has eternal worth and he's worth giving up my life for because he's more important. So, yeah, that's kind of where I got to. To be a stay-at-home mom.
That's powerful. That, I mean, I didn't realize, I relate so much to your story. I did not know how closely, we have a very similar thing where I was teaching, I was pregnant, and I was devastated. I mean, I didn't have a great reaction to it. I was like, I finally am teaching. I love this. What is going on? Like, why would you give me a baby now? But I too didn't have anything clear in prayer except for just like, I just know this is more important and significant, but I can't see why. I had a wrestle in the first couple of months. I loved my baby as soon as she was born, but a wrestle with like, well, what does that make me and who am I and what's going on? It felt like a reduction a little bit of like what I can do and what I can offer because she's not listening to me talk about Jesus at all. She is literally 4 months old, you know? So that is, I feel you. And I think the irony of the ceremony being the thing that brought you the peace, the thing that you could have skipped in like a little bit of like, well, I don't need that anymore. That's where God wanted to like communicate. I just think that's striking. That's really cool. So, okay. So you studied evangelization catechesis. I have to ask a follow-up here. I know we're not going this direction, but like, do you feel like you're using that now as a stay-at-home mom with your kids? Like, do you see that it's coming through in different ways than you expected? Or do you really still think it's on the shelf for later?
Oh, no. The degree covered a wide range of who you're catechizing to and who you're evangelizing to. So there were times that you were taught how to catechize, how to evangelize to young children. And so
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very relevant.
Yeah. And something about like higher education, even though like I hate that phrase, is that it teaches you how to love learning, I think. And so just with that in my back pocket, like a couple summers ago, I got really into catechesis of the Good Shepherd. So I just took the course to like become a catechist and I had no intention.
Are you certified? Okay.
Well, cool. I still have one more week. I did half the training. I had no intention of being a catechist actually. I just wanted to like instill their values in my own home. So I did like a week long like training in it just because I've seen the fruit. I've read the books and I'm just like, I want this for my kids. And so I took the training. And there is just so, like, there's a wealth in Maria Montessori and Sophia Cavalletti and all that they've done. And, like, the themes that they have gone through with children, they're like, this is what you teach kids ages 3 to 6, and this is what works. Like, Jesus the Good Shepherd, or Christ is Light, or liturgical seasons, or just, like, vocabulary. Like, My 4-year-old son at Mass knows that the bowl that the priest washes his hands in during the Eucharistic prayer is called the lavabo bowl. And it's just like, it's just...
Yeah, your 4-year-old, like, yes!
If he has, like, the word for it, all of a sudden, like, it makes sense in his mind. I'm just like, oh, yes. I don't know. Montessori and CGS, it just had a lot of goodness in it. So, yeah, that's where I see
like
it in
Montessori
my own home.
Gave you the confidence, yeah, to, like, believe that your kid can learn that and care about that. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that that's what I've seen Montessori do for other people, too. I need to dive further into Montessori, but it feels like I didn't know that you're capable of learning this at this age, but now that Maria Montessori says you are, like, I can kind of invest in teaching you this. I don't know. I think too, I don't know, as you were speaking, I was just like, you seriously are, you're taking it seriously that you're the biggest influence on them and you're the heart of your home. And so if you can absorb this, then you can teach it to them without, you know, you don't have to finish it. You don't have to be certified. You don't have to finish your week to have already learned enough to start teaching them. I just like that because it doesn't make education about the degree or about the credential. It's about what you're actually learning to actually teach. I think a lot about homeschooling these days. I mean, my child is 2. It is too early. But I think about it. And I talked to my mom who homeschooled us, and I really loved being homeschooled. But the whole thing is that a homeschool parent, like, knows so much about every curriculum and every single grade. I'm like, you literally know every, you know, like, fourth grade, fifth grade, excuse me, you know, math, you know, science, you know, because you have to teach it. And the idea that, like, you don't have a degree or certification to prove that you know that, but you know it and you're teaching it and you're just living. I don't know. I think that there's, it's a real humility to learn something without the credential for it. I don't know. Maybe that's just me where I'm like, to love the learning. And I like that you said that you became like a lifelong learner from higher education, that you're caring to absorb it, to reflect it to your kids. I think just cool. It's humble too. Okay. Can you tell us a little bit about like motherhood right now? And I know that this is not what you necessarily expected with the teaching the high schoolers, but like any stories, anything that come up, any ways that you feel like you're totally using, I know we talked about it a second ago, but like using your gifts, using your skills, using your mission, that you're like, I'm totally in sync with the Holy Spirit here. This is working. Like anything like that. I would love to hear about like ways that you feel like you're walking with the Holy Spirit in your motherhood.
Yeah. I feel like the biggest thing that I'm just clueless about is discipline. So that's
here.
So typically it's in the moments where I'm just like, wow, son X just did this act I did not expect him to do. And now I need to discipline him for the said act of aggression.
And so, aggression. Yeah, always aggression.
It's always aggression. So typically what I try to practice and fail at most of the time, but what I try to do is pause and say, come Holy Spirit. Because I don't want to subscribe to any, like, parenting method that's on the internet, because sure, they don't know my kids and they don't know how to parent my kids and my sons, because they're all so different. And so I'll just ask the Holy Spirit to be my guide in that moment. And sometimes in the pause, before I come up with a plan, like, the son repents on his own, that I'm like, oh, I don't even need to like set up to the step or something. Like, like just me pausing and like actually like internally going like, what do I do, Holy Spirit? Like the son is actually like, oh, like I shouldn't have punched my brother there. But
Wow. The pause has space for that. Wow. Okay. Love that. Okay. Keep going.
Yeah. But just in terms of our domestic church, my husband and I we just love beauty. And just like the beauty of the Catholic Church has drawn us so much deeper in our faith that we want to really instill that within our home. And so from the library books that we check out from the library to the art hung on the walls, we refuse to have anything ugly in our home. Like, beauty matters. Like, I will not check out a book if it has ugly clip art. Like, if it looks like it was drawn on an iPad, I will not check it out. Right?
Get out of here.
And then, like, something that we invest money in is, like, beautiful art for our walls. Like, icons and just, like, we see St. Joseph as our patron of our family and just, like, beautiful, like, a huge, beautiful portrait of St. Joseph that we've invested money in. Because our sons may not notice that, but if it's, like, St. Joseph feast day. We can turn our attention and here's his portrait. And then all of a sudden they're like, cool. Oh, something that I've passed every day I can now look at. Or like beautiful crucifixes. Yeah, that's cool. And like I'll take them off the wall and like, actually, like you can hold this. Like you can hold this beautiful crucifix. And we're going to march around the house singing Lift High the Cross. Like, and then we're going to put it back on the wall.
Wait, you have to talk about the processions. How did these come about? Did you make up this idea? Did your son start just processing? Like, what is this?
No, I think it was birthed out of pure frustration because they don't sit still. Like, I always imagined, because we do a morning prayer and night prayer. And, well, like, not like Liturgy of the Hours, like our own kids' version.
Sure,
so,
sure.
Like, every morning, typically after my husband leaves for work, after we get changed, brush our teeth, it's time for morning prayer. And in my mind, they sit crisscross applesauce and they listen to me proclaim the gospel. But they just can't get their little bodies to stay still. And after a lot of frustration with, like, trying and failing different things, I'm like, you know what? We're just going to use our bodies in this prayer. And so, like I said, we like will find like different crucifixes on the wall, and it's like always very special for them to hold them because they know it's like an object that we're not going to like use as a sword, though they have tried, or a gun used typically that too. But
a gun, yeah, it's that shape.
Yeah, but what we do is we use our bodies for prayer, and so I'll just start singing and like really easy songs that they can pick up. And we will march and move our bodies, and that really excites them, and it gets them and I'll still read the gospel, but like by the second line they're already gone, which is fine. I'm just gonna read louder and I know that they can hear me because I'm loud, but they are gone. They are now in the playroom, which is fine. But yeah, so
like chasing them down with the gospel.
Right, so we will move our bodies during prayer, and that's okay. But another huge thing is the singing of songs. So each liturgical singing, I will pick one song, and that we will sing that every day for the whole liturgical season. And they they like by the end of the liturgical season, they have each song memorized. And whether they sing it or not, like I will hear them singing it to themselves, and I'm like, they know every single word.
Wow, heck yes. Heck yes. And it's just because you do one per season.
Just
so
one
for the 40 days of Lent.
And like for Advent, we do O Come, O Come, Emmanuel, just verse one.
Yep.
And we'll sing just verse one the whole. And then Christmas season, like, I don't know. I think we sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing. And they, like, just one verse. Lent, what did we sing? I think we sang, I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say.
Okay, yes.
And then during Holy Week, we'll do something different. Like, Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?
Yes. Okay, we did that one growing up. Love it.
Easter season, we're doing Hallelujah, that one.
Okay, nice.
And then ordinary time
too, when the parish sings that song at Mass and you're like, they know it!
They do,
like,
they truly do. They truly do. That's, and so then ordinary time is fun. We'll just like all these short little Jesus songs. So like I've Decided to Follow Jesus, or like Jesus in the Morning, all these short little songs, and they have it. And it's like, That's another Montessori thing, is that like songs reach kids on a different level than just spoken word. And I've seen that in action with my boys.
I love it because it's physical. It feels like it's releasing some type of energy, right? It's loud. I love it. And then just for your kids to be singing the song, I think that's cool. Okay. And it also contributes to the beauty thing you were talking about. Like, the music is beautiful. So you're bringing beauty into the home. Going back to that point, I love that you said you invest, because that's what it is. Because sometimes it's an intimidating thing to be like, I want to fill my home with beautiful art. Oh, beautiful art costs something because it's beautiful. And it should, you know, it shouldn't just be like something I like took a screenshot of, you know, like I should pay the artist for what it is. And it's like, makes it more meaningful when it's like, I saved up for this and I got this. And this is like something that is really significant and like marks our home. I love it. I love that. That's on our list as something we would like to have more beauty in our home. And I also love that you're saying it as a mom of three boys, to say you can have a beautiful home even with destructive little boys running around probably breaking things. So it's approachable. Yeah.
Boys love beauty too. Okay, I see that with my husband. Like, my husband is like, I think he's a more like outspoken person for beauty than I am. And to have him lead the charge with like, saying like, we should have more icons in our home. Or he's the one who's like singing the songs with the boys at night. Like he's the leader yes. in the charge for beauty. And like beauty leads us to God, because God is beauty. Yeah. So yeah, really thankful.
And that way
for
it's not husband. Just mom's thing. Yeah, amazing, amazing. Because he's a testament, yeah, that it's not, I mean, beauty's not a girl thing. It's mm-hmm. a God thing.
Right.
We reflect. It's good. It's really good. Okay, well, you already started talking about domestic church, and I'm obsessed. So let's keep talking about that, if you don't mind. Let's talk about this in the context of Acts. And I'm going to go on a little bit of a, we're going to reach here. Okay, so like, feel free to come back and clean up if I misspeak. But okay, Acts of the Apostles, right? Mostly about Peter and Paul, mostly about Acts of the Apostles, mostly about their external mission, where they're really going out and going from, you know, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. They're traveling, they're speaking. We don't get the whole other picture of what's going on when a family gets baptized and brought into the church. Now, how do they live and what is different and how do their daily lives change and what are the moms doing with their little babies to teach them what the heck just happened to them? You know, like, we don't get that picture, but we can read between the lines that something is happening to pass on the faith from generation to generation so that it's not just one generation of converts and then it fizzles out, but that it's passed on. And these I think it's Titus, but like his grandmother and his mother are both thanked by Paul for being faithful before him, and then he's the bishop. So it's like it's passing on. Things are happening in the family. So I guess I want to talk about this kind of hidden topic that how are we as moms, specifically, I mean, not just stay-at-home moms at all, or not just homeschool moms, but like moms in general who are Catholic, who are in the faith, who are trying to raise our children in the faith. Our mission is tied up with our vocation. How do we see this as like connecting to the Acts of the Apostles? Because the Acts of the Apostles feels like it's all about evangelization, and yet we're not really doing anything that they were doing. So what are we doing and what's our call? And I would love you to just jump in wherever you feel like you want to start there.
I was, before we started this, I was thinking about Pentecost and Acts of the Apostles yes. and how the tongues of fire rested upon the heads of the apostles, right? And so with my little Didache Bible, I was like, let me read the notes in this. What does it say about tongues of fire? And just talking about how, like, if scripture uses fire, it's talking about how, like, fire transforms. And I just feel like when a woman becomes a mother, like, they go through the fire. Like, pregnancy. Yes. Fire. Like,
yes, girl. Yes. Hot fire.
Like, fire transforms that which it touches. And so, like, the birth of a mother while they birth their child is transformative. Mm-hmm. Like, you are a new person, I feel like. Just like how, like, Peter in the Gospels, like, you are unrecognizable Peter to the Peter of Acts of the Apostles.
Yes.
Like, how are you yes. the same person? Like, you have been transformed by the Holy Spirit. And it's like, yeah. okay, I want that same thing to happen to me as a mom. Because I don't want the yes. old Maggie being the mother to my sons. Like, I want, like, new wine Maggie being the mother to my sons.
Wow. Wow. I am loving what you're saying. I do not want old Maggie to be, like, yeah, wow. Okay, keep going. You're on to something here.
Yeah, and just so, like, just the natural order of things that God permits within our lives, like the suffering within pregnancy, and don't get me started about labor and delivery, but like that is fire too. And
the hottest part, the blue flame.
Yes. And then like then you become a mom and then you're breastfeeding and there's more fire and more pain and more suffering, and it's like, God, let this suffering transform me into a better person for the sake of this little tiny human in my arms. And then that little tiny wow. human bites you while they're breastfeeding, and you're like, that's more fire. That's more pain. Like, and it's like, how much more powerful would this transformation be if I'm like offering up the fire and the pain and the suffering for something?
Oh my gosh.
Which wow. I fail to do yep. 99% of the time, right? Like, but it's me a good too. Goal to have.
Oh my gosh.
But just like how yeah. fire transforms and changes. It's like, I was different. Like, yeah, I was different before, and I want to be different now in a better way, mm. in a holy way, because, like, you know this, faith is better caught than taught, and it's like, my kids mm-hmm. are with me, like, at my hip, like, 24/7, like, give me, like, mm. in the bathroom, like, they are with me, so, like, they see mm. me, and it's like, if they just, like, they're gonna stop hearing my words after a while, but they will never stop looking at me. They will never stop seeing me, which is so much more important in passing on the faith. What do you think about that, Monica?
Wow. That, I mean, I'm just like, go Maggie, go Maggie. Like, I just am stuck on what you said about, I don't want old, because I say that I don't want old Monica raising my kid. I want Jesus actually raising my kid. I don't even want me, because I don't know that I'm doing it. But something you said, this again was months ago, and you're going to think I'm stalking you now, but like, I remember the things you say because they're stark. You say them and you punch them out. And I'm like, yes. But you said at one of these women's groups, I thought, you know, when I was a first time mom, I'm going to raise saints. That's my goal. I'm raising saints, you know. And then you said, actually, I'm just trying to be a saint. Like, forget raising saints. I'm being purified. Like, it's not so much that God is trying to work through me, which he is, but God is trying to work on me. And the transformation that I've experienced in motherhood has looked exteriorly to old Monica and to maybe others. You know, I don't want to put judgment in other people's mouths or anything, but that I have been reduced and that I'm less fun, less exciting, you know, that my desires have changed because I want so much just to be a really good mom. That's really what I want. And really want to be worthy of raising my daughter. And I didn't think that, I thought I was. I thought I was so cool. I thought I was totally like, I'm going to raise this kid. It's going to be great. And I think my own humility or lack of humility became apparent in the transformation. So yeah, I think that I also was reminded of, I don't know, I'm connected to the Damascus community. You know, my husband works there. And so many times I feel like as a missionary, or like I hear the missionaries, you know, pray this eager, beautiful prayer of like, come, send your fire, Lord. And in the moment that it's prayed, it's a sincere prayer. But I mean, I don't want to discount that at all. But like, what you're asking for might actually come as suffering, might actually come as like the biting during breastfeeding. It might come as really hard first trimester. It might come as like loneliness and feeling like I'm the only one doing this. Like, the fire doesn't actually look glorified. You might not be with 12 other people in the room receiving it together. You might be kind of like Mary's first Pentecost at the Annunciation. She was alone receiving the Holy Spirit by herself to be empowered for the task ahead of her. And I don't know. One last thing I thought when you were speaking is just, I spend a lot of time up in my daughter's nursery, right? Because that's where you spend a lot of time, especially the first year of life, where you're just rocking and nursing and rocking and nursing. And we have a crucifix up there. And I would, you know, look at that crucifix and be like, you and me are the only witnesses of the events of this room. Like, nobody else knows what's going on in here, like all hours of the night. And how special that, like, I had never felt like an intimacy like that with the Lord. I was out of a normal prayer routine as my first year. I was like, kind of like, what is prayer and how do I do this? But I was like, but I know that you and I see what's happening here and we're together. I just feel like the transformation piece that you're talking about, if you reach for the Lord, he's so present there. Even if you don't reach for him, but I don't know. I just, I really like what you're talking about.
I like what you said about Mary, of just like being hidden, like, well, like in secret, like, in so many, like, 30 years of Christ's life, like, the hidden years.
Yeah.
And, like, so much happened with Mary, and they weren't recorded.
They weren't recorded. And she probably didn't care at all. But, I mean, like, wow, just not even to, like, be about her, because, like, she wouldn't want that. But, like, just for a guidebook, Mary, tell us what you were up to.
I know the forgotten. Like, I super struggled with that. Like, going from, like, being a youth minister, being, like, someone at Damascus. Like, I was, like, the MC. I was, like, someone on stage.
You had a name.
Had a name. I was seen. Or, like, being a teacher. Like I held, like, as a theology teacher, like, you hold a status in the school of, like, I'm someone that you can talk to. I'm seen, like, and known. And then all of a sudden, you go home. And it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the library because it's Tuesday and I go every Tuesday and I know the two librarians, but like, and then I'm going to,
they know me, that's the only people.
And then like my babies know me, but like, I'm just waiting for my husband to come home so I can have an adult conversation.
And honestly, like I was talking to my mom last week about this, like my mom raised us so well. She's got 7 kids who are really like in the faith and like totally know the Lord because I really think of her influence and her love. But she asks all the time, she'll tell a story and be like, do you remember that? And I'll be like, nope, I don't remember any of that. I don't remember all these intentional, beautiful things you did, these places you took us, these things you did, but it worked. You know, like, it's like even the forgottenness that your children forget, the effort you make. Like, hopefully one day they're going to remember the processions around the house. But even if they don't, it worked. You know, even if they don't remember me doing this night prayer that I'm really trying to do with her, or like, it doesn't matter if they forget. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. The hiddenness, yeah. Man.
Yeah, I think it was last spring or two springs ago, the freshman class that I first taught at DeSales, they were graduating. And for some reason that like really hit me of like, wow, like no one at that school, like no student will know me anymore because I've been gone. Like my son is 4 now. So I'm like, wow, I'm so forgotten by like, yeah. So I was just like, you know, just going in prayer, just be like, God, like, I know you remember me, but like no one else. Yeah. And I didn't need this. This was just like pure mercy of God. I still have really close friends that work at DeSales, and a theology teacher had emailed me a graduating senior's journal, and she wrote about in the journal that when she entered high school, she was like, I did not consider myself a Christian whatsoever. Like, I thought they were all hypocrites, like, especially Catholics. And then she's like, and then I met my freshman theology teacher, and she's like, and that's when I began my walk with Christ. Yeah. And I was Maggie! Just, and like, I didn't need to know that. Like, I didn't need to know. It was just God's merciful love, because he knew that I was struggling and that, like, I was wrestling with being forgotten. And he just reminded me of, like, the seeds that we plant. Like, we may never see, and we don't even deserve to see the fruit.
Yeah, we don't need it. Yes.
But, like, sometimes just a little glimpse of just, like, wow, like, God, you really did cause the growth of that. Like you really did work through me. Like, you are real and you are speaking through me. And can you do that some more? And like, wow, like, I'm going to trust in you more because I've seen what you've done in the past. And I just want that. I want that more for the future. But that was just a pure total grace and mercy.
That's awesome. That was a gift that he wanted to give you, though, to edify you, to upbuild you, and be like, it worked. What you were doing worked. And why would you doubt that what you're doing now works either when I have you in this season? But this is like a much longer wait to see the fruit. Even if we do get to see it, like you said, we might not get to see it. But wow, that's, I just, I love that.
It's like praise the God Corinthians.
Praise God that you were there.
Praise God. Yeah. The Corinthians quote, like, Paul planted, Apollos watered, and then God caused the growth. It's like,
yes,
it's like,
yes,
right now, like, my husband and I, when we pray for our sons, like, we will pray for their, like, faith role models, educators, coaches, like, who, like, someone else be out there. Like, who was it for Augustine, like, Ambrose or Athanasius?
Yeah, Ambrose.
Like, send an Ambrose for my kid, like.
Yeah. Who, by the way, gets a lot of credit that maybe Monica laid down some groundwork that she don't get no credit for. That Ambrose. I know, my poor mom, too, because, again, I keep going back to her, but she really raised me so well. And then I left the church my first year of college, and I came back to it through the example of this amazing guy named Paul Coakley at a camp. And I really, you know, when I'm telling a shorter version of what happened, I attribute it to Paul. Like, God worked through Paul. And my mom's like, and me! She wouldn't say that, but, like, I mean, man, that is, it's just, it's in the background, it's taken for granted. But when you don't have it, when you don't have a mom and a dad, but like who's in sync with it, who gets it, that they're the heart of the home, that they're the one who is steadying the home, and they're the one who is bringing you to Jesus day. And if you don't have it, you feel the lack. If you do have it, you're like, oh, I take it for granted, you know, like,
right.
But the mission is the children, the mission is the home and the family, because like you said, we can be like, you know, you speak on stage, I can be one voice who's spoken to these kids their whole life, or I could be one child's everything that she really needs. So, yeah. Okay. Can you tell me more too about when you are in, actually, sorry, I'm changing my question, but I might go back to that. What's it called? Evangelization and catechesis. Can we break this down just a little bit in terms of what is actually the difference, and then what are you actually touching every day when you're with your boys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So evangelization, right, that is, right, spreading the good news, right? And this is a mandate that's on every Christian's heart from the Lord. Like, it, like, go therefore and make disciples. Like, Jesus spoke very clearly before his ascension. Like, this is what we have to do. And so, like, as a mom or not a mom, just as a Christian, that's what we have to do. Catechesis, right, more specifically, that can be translated to echo down. So I kind of see it as, like, a baton that had, like, Christ gave the baton to the apostles, and the apostles have carried on, like, down through the centuries, handing off that baton, the deposit of faith, so to say. And we get to continue to hand that down. Evangelization would come first, right? To open, to spread the good news, to open the hearts. And catechesis comes second after that, after the heart is open, right? Like, move the mind to touch the heart. And so, as moms, right, like, both of those jobs are ours, right? And that reminds me of the Shema prayer, like Deuteronomy 6:4. Right after that. Yeah, I'm going to get my Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, please read this.
Okay. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord your God with your whole heart, with your whole being, and your whole strength. Take to heart these words which I command you today. And then it goes on to say, keep repeating them to your children. Recite them when you are home, when you're away, when you lie down, when you get up. I just love that. Like, I think another one is, another translation is, teach diligently to your children. It's like, there, like, there's no question about what our job is to do. Like, our job is to teach diligently, like, the Lord is our God. Like, love him with everything, which is a high task, but, like, God will give us the grace.
Yeah. And by the way, the fact that he gave the Shema, he was emphasizing so much Moses, I mean, God through Moses, but the next generation didn't do it. And they forgot God. By the time they got to the promised land to conquer it, they were all too afraid to follow God. And it was like a total mess. Like, if they had only done the Shema, if they had only been faithful in teaching it to their children, then the conquering the promised land probably would have gone a lot smoother. Then maybe, like, the judges wouldn't have ruled the people so corruptly, you know, like, I guess we see the bad fallout, but again, if we saw that it all worked, maybe we wouldn't even notice. But yeah, this is a great connection point, because this is, I feel like this is our daily task, is the Shema, is back to, you know, our Old Testament roots of, it's the daily, the diligence, the writing it on the doorpost, the keeping it visible for the kids, the remembering. Okay, this is totally like a side tangent, but let me ask you this question. So sometimes I've pondered with this idea that, you know, you can be catechized. At least this is my perception. It feels like you can be catechized without being evangelized sometimes. And I find that a couple of my, it's like a common thread in my adult friendships, where it's like, I grew up knowing about Jesus and I was taught about him. And then at some point I met him for myself, and maybe it was at a retreat or, you know, in a moment of prayer or something. So do you feel like that is the moment of evangelization? Do you feel like that is kind of a mom's job too, to get her child in the position to be evangelized by somebody else? Or is that, like, for some reason they didn't encounter Jesus in the home and they needed additional outside? Do you know what I'm asking?
Yeah. I just feel like it's, like, not up to us to a certain extent. Like, we don't have that power. Sure. like I wish we did, but like, when I think about my own upbringing, like, I also had, like, a stellar mom who just, like, did a great job raising me in the faith. Like, still there are some misses, but, like, I encountered Jesus, like, not because of her, not in spite of her, but, like, I still encountered Jesus. And, like, I know so many people who weren't raised in the faith, and they still encounter Jesus. And it's just, like, maybe we as the moms are just the vehicles. Like, let's just picture ourselves as, like, the driver of the minivan. And just, like, we can take them there. Like, you can lead a horse to water, but, like, you can't force them to drink, you know? Like, and that's something that I've found that I feel like the Lord really wants me to do in my own home is taking the kids to daily mass once a week. And
nice.
I'd always, like, I love daily mass. Like, if I was not a mom, I hope to God I would go every day. Like, I just love, like, that's where I hear the Lord speak to me the most. And so before I became a mom, something I did quite often. And then I had kids. And when you have one kid, you know, when they're really small, it's, like, pretty easy to go. because they sleep and then they get older and they start moving and it gets harder. And then they get older and I'm like, okay, they can go, they're fine. But then you have another kid and then the cycle begins all over again. And so
I have three.
So when I was like doing a good job at taking like the one kid to daily mass once a week. And then I had a second kid. Yeah. And then I found myself getting into the habit every single week that it would get to be around the time where I knew I had to start getting ready, or if I don't start getting ready right now, we're going to be late. And I got into a habit where every week at that time, I would just, my mind would go straight to all of the excuses of like, oh, so-and-so didn't have a good nap this morning, which means he's going to be really cranky, or he's going to need a snack, and I'm not going to be able to get there in time. I'm going to have to fill up on gas, like all the excuses. And there was one Friday where the excuses started, and I just heard in the silence of my heart, I just heard the Lord speak to me and say, let the children come to me. And so,
whoa,
it was like, okay, like I'm going to put down all my excuses. Like,
yeah.
And I am going to be the vehicle. I will be the minivan driver and I will get my kids there because Jesus wants my kids there. I will take my kids to Jesus. That's all I can do. And like right now I'm at a stage with like the three boys, like the youngest boy just started walking and like refused to be contained in a pew. So we spend the entire time in the back of church, just like walking back and forth. But I'm like, I am there. Like, Lord, I am there. And it's not about, like me getting something out of this, though I do get to receive the Eucharist, which is amazing. But, like, I'm there, and my boys are there. And every week when we, like, get to, like, go up to Holy Communion, I'm just like, Jesus, here are my kids. Like, we're so close to you for just a, like, small amount of time. Like, take my children. Wow. Like, do what you want with them. And then, like, we walk back to the very back of church. But it's, just let the children come to me. I heard that in my heart and it was, God is real.
And you remembering it because, oh my gosh, just the imagery of you shepherding your children up the aisle, which it kind of is. It's like, don't go there. No, don't go there. Go straight ahead.
Oh my gosh,
keep going. You're like, what? Just walk in front of the person. But like you bringing them to Jesus. I mean, this is silly. I've never thought of that. As I'm carrying or walking my daughter up there, I'm like, let's receive the Lord and kind of not make a mess and leave and go back to our pew. But like literally the imagery of like you are bringing your child as close as they physically have gotten to the Lord, and then you're like, take my child. That I think the exercise for you weekly, bi-weekly, like surrendering your kid and saying, these are your kids, Jesus. I don't know, I think that's got to do something to your heart. That is like, even if that was the only moment, I don't know, that's sticking with me. Bringing your kids up to communion that one moment. Adam, I love that. So thanks for sharing that. Like, I think that I grab on so hard to my daughter. I'm like, this is my daughter who I will raise. Instead of like, this is God's kid who he's entrusted me. And I'm like, but I made her. It's like, no, God made her. Like, I don't know. I just, man, some possessive love over here. Love this kid. But okay, this is going to be a little bit of a random question, but it came to my mind as you were speaking, and then we can return if we want to any part of this conversation too. But you mentioned at some point, again, me suckering you, but the you said during nap time or quiet time, when there is no nap time, you pray your daily rosary. And I was wondering, like, first of all, I've started to do that a little bit because of you, so thank you, because I was like, oh, great idea, great time to do the daily rosary. And there's my temptation of, like, I have some alone time, I'm going to fill it with, I don't know, going on YouTube or like napping or like doing anything that feels like it's going to fill me up a little bit. Whereas the rosary or any other type of prayer is going to actually connect me back to the reason, the mission I'm doing this. So first of all, would love you to tell us about that a little bit, because I know you mentioned that like you invite your boys to join you if they're out of the room. Mm-hmm. But then second, to piggyback on that, like, are there other tips, tricks, ways that you keep your eyes on Jesus amidst the chaos of raising the kids to remember that this is his call for you throughout your day? Or, any other things that you do to anchor yourself, I would say.
Yeah. I think, you know, with any devotion, like, the wise thing to do is, like, just pick one devotion and do it well. Like, be faithful to that one thing. So, like, the rosary is, like, my one. That's my devotion. That's the one I'm going to try to be faithful to. And for me, just, like just how St. Benedict had a rule. Like, I try to have a rule with my motherhood of just, like, I too, Monica, I love podcasts. And so my rule is that, like, I cannot listen to a podcast until I finish my daily rosary. And so that's like, you know, a little motivation that we get, that we need.
Little carrot.
Yeah.
Carrot.
Right. but also just like the, like trying to give my first fruits, like my first fruits of the day, like may not come at like the first time I open my eyes, because typically someone needs me like right away. So like the first fruits of my day is like the first time to myself. And it's like, wow, I like really would prefer to fold this laundry because that pile in the corner is really annoying me. But like, am I right. going to choose to give my first fruits? And typically, like, there are kids who are out of their room. And like, I would just say like, okay, grab a rosary and join me. And then that's usually their cue that they run away because they don't want to, which is why I get my alone time. But they also just see the rosary as like something that's normal. Like with like
yes
St. John Paul II in his biography George Weigel's The Witness to Life, he talked about how he was raised with a normalcy of faith, like in his household, like faith was normal to him. And that's what I just really want to instill in our home, that like it's normal that we pray every morning, it's normal that you see your mom and dad praying a rosary, like it's normal to see crucifixes on the wall, it's normal to go to mass, it's like it's normal. Like, it's weird to, like, not talk about God. Like, it's actually, like, actually the world out there is weird and disordered. Like,
yeah, right.
So just...
It's like their first language. You're teaching them their first language is Jesus.
Right.
And it's comfortable and familiar.
Yes.
So that when and if they step away from you, they still feel weird if they're not in that pew at Mass. Mm. Because that's where they always are. Or they feel weird if they're not doing... It feels like something's missing because you've integrated it so much. I'm totally tracking. Mm-hmm. Okay, keep going.
But also, like, as I'm sure you are, Monica, with yourself, like, we are our toughest critic, right? And so, like, not if, but, like, when I miss my rosary, then I get to my nightly examine and I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, I just dissolve. I'm just like, you're probably so, like, I'm just so discouraged and just, like, right. you know. But just St. Teresa of Avila would stand outside the confessional when all her sisters were going through to receive the sacrament of reconciliation. And her sisters would walk out of the confessional and she would look at them and say, begin again, begin again, begin again. And so at the end of the night and in the morning, I'm just like, I'm going to begin again. Like, today is the day. Wow. Like, today is an acceptable day of salvation. I'm going to begin again. Because you know, I would just dissolve into a puddle of discouragement.
Right.
And St. Francis de Sales.
I can't keep the streak alive. Yeah,
right. St. Francis de Sales said, have patience with all things, but especially yourself. And it's like, it's like I give everyone else so much mercy, but myself, I am just like the worst with. So it's not an if, but when I miss my daily rosary, that typically turns into a dozery because I'll typically doze off during it. But
nap time is a hard time to pray the rosary. Like,
I have a clause. I ask my guardian angel, I'm like, if I fall asleep, will you please finish for me? Like, and I hope that covers it.
Then you lie down on the couch, put a blanket on, and start your rosary.
My guardian angel's like, I see you with that pillow. Yeah.
Exactly. I think I'm being used here. I love that. Because I just love, too, the idea of, like, I mean, my husband and I were talking about this the other day, but, like, it's not even so much that you have, like, for, I guess, I don't even know where this comes from. I guess it's, like, psychology of some sort. But it's not even that the mother has to be playing with the child or actively engaging with the child. It's the fact that mother's present is actually what gives the child a sense of security in their early years.
Oh.
So they know mom is here, even if mom, you know, might be washing dishes over there or whatever. And so, because that gave me a little bit of permission, because I spend a lot of my day playing with Maeve actively, because, you know, there's only one of her and she wants a playmate. But when I'm like, I can't, I do not feel well, I need to lie on the couch, whatever, then it's like my presence. Anyway, the point I'm making is that the fact that like your boys can peek out and hear, I don't know if you say it out loud, or like see you praying the rosary is like, she's there, she's peaceful, you know, and you're doing something, like you said, normal and beautiful and good. And it's like a background noise to them. They're like, okay, that's what mom's doing. And it's like, I don't know. I love that. I love that they can see it and it's a witness. And I would feel comforted, I think, if I peeked out my window and saw, oh, mom's there praying her rosary, as she always is. Okay, sounds good. You know, like it's you've made a steadiness in your home through a habit that you're doing. Were there any others, though, that you were going to share, too? I didn't want to cut you off early.
Oh.
With, like, anchors or anything like that.
It's my, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, beautiful. Yes, the exam at night, And I love, too, you're doing things out loud in front of your kids, too. Like, the morning prayer and the night prayers with your kids. It's not, like, around your kids. That's really good. That's really good. Because I think I definitely am still working on, like, that aspect of, like, praying in front of my baby. I'm like, okay, I want to do that so that you can see me doing this.
Will say it gets a lot easier the older they get.
Yeah.
It was so hard kind of when they're babies. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. She yells, "No Bible, no Bible," at me. I'm like, "I'm making a beast. What have I done?"
You're like, "Get the holy water, douse this baby."
What is she yelling? Like, but she just likes me to watch her, you know, so I'm like, "I'm going to pray over here." No, you're not. Okay, I know as we're closing up here, wrapping up, I just wanted to pick your brain. I know I'm being redundant asking this question again, but just domestic church-wise, I just feel like you've got a wealth of years of experience and ideas. Any other thoughts you just wanted to share about things that are, like, working in your house, things that you have loved, just to grow your domestic church at home?
Yeah, I think that, oh, man, someone said it. It's probably from a Vatican II document. It all blurs together in my mind after a while. But the Holy Spirit is the primary agent of evangelization.
I've heard that. Yeah, I don't know where that's from either. Okay, yeah. Okay.
But just, like, there's, like, no pressure. Like there's no pressure because it's not on us. Like, it is, but it isn't. Mm. You know, like, the Holy Spirit's going to work. And the Holy Spirit's going to work in his time, not our time. But that doesn't mean that we can't labor in the vineyard right now. And I think I'm just so consoled that marriage takes two and, like, raising children. Yes. Like, I have a partner, like, I have a husband who can, like, lead, and I have a husband who, like, does the things that I'm just, like, not, like, able to do. Like I credit so much of, like, just where we're at with our family because my husband's faithfulness to his holy hour, his Eucharistic holy hour, each week. And, like, he gets up super early and goes every week. And I just admire him for that. And I just feel like there's so many, like, graces in our home that's because of that. And something else that my husband does that I just really admire is, like, there are a lot of things that I should do every day, but I forget. But my husband, without fail, every night has blessed our children and prayed over them. Like, tucking, like, as, like, after they fall asleep, he will go back in, like, right before he goes to bed, and he will pray over them and bless them. And he has certain prayers that he says, and he's done the same thing since our first son was born. And he has never forgotten. And I just, that's, like, it's powerful. Like, he knows that he's, like, the priest of the family. Like, he knows that he, like, his words have power, and he speaks them over his children every night. And I just feel like that's just opened a lot of doors in our home and brought a lot of grace. And I just feel like he's, like, the St. Teresa Lisieux of, like, his, like, mission is, like, he's, like, the prayer warrior of, like, of our family.
Wait, that is such a funny flip. Wait, this is so fun. Because you're going off the idea that there's two patron saints of mission, Therese of Lisieux and Francis Xavier. And Francis Xavier goes out and does all the things.
Yeah.
And Therese stays in her cloister and prays all the things.
Yeah.
And here's your husband who physically leaves the home every day, but he's actually the Therese because he's doing the praying. And you're the Francis Xavier who's actually raising the boys and corralling them all day. That I love this. This is a cute little, that's a cute twist.
Yeah. Okay. Like, I'm with the boys, like, 40 more waking hours a week than my husband. So I, like, I am the one, like, like, man, when you take three kids, four and under, to daily mass by yourself, like, I just constantly sweat. I just sweat the whole time. Like, even if they're doing great, I'm just like, the ball's about to drop. Like, at some point, I'm going to need to go out. But
like, I'm always wearing sneakers. I need mobility shoes.
Right. Or just, like, getting the kid, like, my, like, biggest struggle as a mom is getting everyone's shoes on and into the car to get to a certain event at a certain time. Like, that so gives relatable. Me the most stress and anxiety, and, like, all of my, like, everything I say in confession is always surrounding that, like, 5 minutes each
the
day
shoes.
Of, like, getting the shoes on. But, like, it's, like, I will do that, and I will make that sacrifice of waking one kid up from their nap so the other kid can go to Catechesis of the Good Shepherd that I have to drive 30 minutes to get to, and then I have to stay there for 2 hours and wait till it to be let out, but I have to do something with the other two kids, so it's, like, Yeah, like my, I feel like my husband is like the prayer warrior at the St. Teresa Lisieux, and I'm out,
yeah,
you know, like going to China and like being the missionary. Yeah, like literally. Yeah.
There's this story about Francis, I was going to say DeSales, Xavier, that apparently he baptized so many people. I don't know if this happened once or multiple times, but a day that his hands got too tired. He couldn't do it. And somebody else had to take his hand and baptize, but holding his hand.
Oh my,
you know, the priest's
gosh.
Hand has to do it. And I was like, Francis, what a, how silly, you know, like what a dramatic. And now I'm like, I am too tired to literally do this. Like, I'm like, I'm with you, buddy. Like, I have been doing this all day. Like, yeah. I love it. And I love your husband's perspective on it too. I think, I mean, my husband has said this to me recently, which I'm just like, I am so lucky and grateful to have a husband who sees what I'm doing as significant, because he can remind me when I don't remember. But he said, like, he, you know, he's a missionary. My husband's a missionary. So you could argue his job is way more in tune with, like, he is doing the mission of the church. He is evangelizing, you know, he's doing the things. He's working with the young people directly. And he said, your job is way more important than my job, because what you're doing has like this eternal impact that my work just doesn't have, you know. And even though his job like does have that, he's participating in this mission organization, but he's like, what you're doing is like a hands-on thing. You're raising a child, and obviously we are raising a child, but like, just to hear him know that and affirm that to me, I'm like, I want everybody's, like every mom in the trenches, their husband, to be able to remind them of that, to be like, I'll be your Therese because I see that you're being Francis, and like what your work, I don't know. It's like, it's worthy. The battle is worthy of you. Keep fighting, keep doing it. Like, cause it just sometimes is so mind numbingly feels so, insignificant.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it's so significant. It's like, that is just like the, it's like, you got to see clearly and see what the Lord is doing and see through what the world is telling you. I don't know. I get a little bit caught up in the lie sometimes. So
yeah, I hear that. Ugh.
Okay, Maggie, I mean, like, you're seriously like, thank you for the richness of this conversation. I feel like, okay, I am grateful for your vulnerability in breaking down that you haven't always, like, I see you kind of as like superwoman. I'm like, you're doing it. I'm like, okay, but you feel what I feel too, and what other moms are feeling, and you're just championing through, and you're making decisions one day at a time. I love this, close your eyes, pause, come Holy Spirit, teach me what to do with this child, to discipline them. It feels like that can just be like your mission statement for motherhood. That's kind of how you're operating. And I love it. And it inspires me to want to make more space for the Holy Spirit to work with him. And I don't know, I'm picking up things. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do that rosary during that nap time. I want to like do the things that you're doing. So just thanks for being such a pioneer and a role model. And I really think that this conversation is going to bless our listeners. So thanks for coming on. Any last words, anything? I don't want to close without giving you the stage one more time to say anything you want to say, encouragement for the listeners, or I don't know, saints, anything.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Just come Holy Spirit. Come Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And yeah, the Holy Spirit is the primary agent of evangelization. So
we're just tag-alongs, so honestly, pressure off. Amen. Okay, Maggie, well, thank you again so much for coming on. And listeners, we will see you next week with our final interview of the series. No, I think we've got two more. So thanks for diving in with us. Keep contemplating, keep praying with this Acts of the Apostles mission and motherhood, because as much as we talk about here on the pod, really, there's so much that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to you about it. I just hope that you crack it open with him and know that, like, if you're with us, kind of in the trenches of young motherhood or old motherhood, that this is like a mission and a call, and it's significant. So God be with you. Amen. All right. Bye, Maggie.
Bye.
If you are listening to this, it means you made it to the end of the episode. Woo! And thank you so much for listening. Thanks for coming along with us. I hope you learned something. I hope your heart was moved. I have been so enjoying having these guests on the podcast, and we're going to continue to have guests. And so I hope that these conversations bless you. If they do, please share with a friend, or please subscribe, because we're going to keep making as much content as we can here in order to help everybody to understand God's love and the Bible a little bit more, the Catholic worldview. So share, share, sure, and come back next time. Thanks so much. Bye.